Thank you, ladies. Very, very beautiful as always. Very inspiring. You've all had the opportunity to hear Gordon preach a lot over the past year. Fortunately, I haven't, so I'm looking forward to it. I know that he has a deep desire to serve the Lord, deep desire to expound upon the truthfulness of the gospel of Christ, and a deep desire to teach. So I'd ask that you would open up your ears and your heart that you might hear a servant of the Lord speak and expound upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Good evening. That sure was a beautiful special. I appreciate it very much. Real pretty. Well, tonight I'm going to bring to you tonight something that was given to Brother Placido Coyoke back in 1988. This morning when we were had an opportunity to go through in Sunday school how God reveals himself to mankind, one of the things that was on that list was spiritual dreams. It would be part of the gifts of the Spirit. And this particular thing I'm going to bring to you tonight was a spiritual dream that our brother had back in 1988. And it was something that pertained, as he understood it, it didn't just pertain to his small group right there. He felt very much that it was for the whole body of Christ to be able to hear and to understand. So it is my intent tonight to bring back to our remembrance these things, because you've heard them already. They were brought to you, and they were published in our papers, and I just felt that it would be appropriate that I might bring them forth again tonight for you. It says, on December 28, 1988, he was an evangelist at the time, Placido Coyoke, awoke early in the morning. While praying over the day's activities, a vision appeared before him. He first saw his family, then all his brothers and sisters in his congregation that represented to him the church at large. He was overcome with the impression that there was a great need within the church. With this awareness, the vision faded, and as he pondered the significance of what he had seen, there came to his mind, one by one, a list of needs for which he thought we should be praying. He listed them together with a few scriptures that came to his mind. Another one of those things that I was thinking about when we talked about this morning was that the Lord would give you line upon line, precept upon precept, and he would utilize his word. And so there was eight different things that was given to Brother Placido Coyoke as to things that we should focus on in our life as a member of the body of Christ. And I'm going to bring them to you tonight with accompanying scripture that was given to him at that time. One of the first things that that he listed was that it says, pray that the Lord of harvest would send laborers into the vineyard. And that was the very first thing that that was on the list. And where's Joel? Joel, when were the apostles called? When the quorum was full? 98. So this was 10 years before that took place. So the first thing was he was given, he said, pray for, it was more ministry, more laborers. And he used the scripture in Matthew in the 9th chapter. It's a very familiar scripture. here on verse 35 through 38. This is where Jesus, he said he had been teaching, and it said, and Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, I think about this little excerpt of scripture. I think about what took place maybe in the Philippines or in Africa, where these different ones were having a desire to know and come to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and many of them being baptized. And it took a little while before there were those who were prepared and was able to take their place within the ministry to care for all those people that were newly baptized in there. And there's still a lot more need in those areas, in Honduras and Yucatan, for laborers in the vineyard for the Lord. It would be no different as the gospel is being taught and those individuals become interested and come into the gospel of Christ. One of the things that I printed off a couple of emails more recently here. It was from Jay. And this happened to be written in the same day. One was, says this was on the 8th, which was, well, yesterday. We've had a conference of ministry, two meetings with the apostles here and their and three meetings with the churches. One of the pastors resigned his pastorship at Concob Chain. We're all left with more to do now. Don is going to hold services with the church at Concob Chain. And during his stay here, that means that every Saturday, Sunday, he will be there. Placido K. Yam will meet with them on Tuesdays for prayer and testimony services. When Don leaves the U.S., for the U.S., we will need to ask someone else to be the pastor. At the moment, Roger will try to fill in. This is Roger Kahn. He is already the pastor of three locals and has one mission, too. He is not a young man. Please keep this work in your prayers and pray that the Lord will send laborers in his vineyard. That's one of your apostles asking us to be mindful of this, that the brother Placido was given in 1988. And that need is just as great or even more so now. That more laborers would be those who would be prepared to be called into that service and to care for the sheep in that area. A good note. The second email on that day, our newest elder here in Yucatan, Esau, or Saul, is doing a good work in Chunohob, or whatever, the home of Vincent Poot and the local there. Six people were baptized there during the months of December and January. I plan to travel with him next weekend to help with some studies and encouragement. The Lord does answer prayer, and he does care for the needs of his people. But it is our responsibility that we be mindful of this need, and especially as the work goes out in the world, that the laborers are few. And we're going to have to set time to think in our prayers that we might pray that the Lord would prepare those individuals that would take their place in the ministry to care for these needs. The next thing, just as important, and I know that I've tried to focus on this even more so in the last year or so, and that is to pray for the local ministry, that they might have wisdom and discernment in that work among the people, that they can care for the sheep and the local, that they would be able to make sure that they're fed and they're cared for according to their spiritual and physical needs. It's very important that we be mindful of that. And it is a very heavy responsibility that becomes sometimes almost too much to bear. And you can ask most any pastor how that is. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews. I want to, there's several scriptures that was given to Brother Placido at that time, and one of them was in the book of Hebrews. And this would tell you that this shouldn't be anything unusual, this request, that those of old had asked for the same thing. The book of Hebrews in the 13th chapter. And let's see, it's the 18th verse. This is the Brother Paul, Apostle Paul. It says, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly." You know, I think about Paul's work among the Gentiles and the things that he suffered, and he did it willingly. And I'm thankful that he was strong enough to be able to say, you know, would you please pray for me, that I might be able to preach and teach those things that would be of benefit to you. This isn't the only place where he asked for that, but this is one of them. He reminded people on a regular basis. Let's go over into Colossians. That was another one of the scripture verses in the 4th chapter of Colossians. And that would be verses 2 through 4. It says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." That's the utmost desire in the hearts of your ministry, is to be able to be that tool in the hand of God, to be able to speak those words for your benefit and those who are hearing, you know. And many times, you know, when we're standing up here, we're going, yeah, that's for me too. You know, that's not uncommon. But that we be mindful of that, that God would give His Spirit to those individuals that are responsible as they are given the opportunity to stand before you, the spiritual wisdom and discernment to bring forth those things that you need at that time. You know, I have a personal testimony of that very thing. Long time ago, back in 1977. I had a decision I had to make in my life. I didn't know if I wanted to stay in the military or not. I had almost nine and a half years in the military. 10 and a half years, I could retire. So that was the halfway mark. And I didn't know if I should stay in or not. And so I made it a matter of prayer. And then one day I came in, and I sat right down here in front. And Brother Housenick was standing up, and he was to preach that night. And he said, you know, I had prepared something, but I feel that I'm led to preach about something else. And that was that he preached about that we should prepare ourselves and separate ourselves from those things that we had no control over, that we might more fully serve God. What a revelation. And the Spirit of the Lord came over me and said, that's your answer, Gordon. And so I got out of the service. It wasn't easy. I had to step out in faith because I had been around those gated walls all my life. My father was in the military. But I trusted God and I said, okay, you're going to have to help me find a job. And he did. The day I was signing my discharge papers is the day I got a call and said, why don't you join Honeywell? And gave me an offer. That's how important it is that you pray that God would give that spiritual discernment to His ministry, that He might help you in your questions, in your life, and the needs that you have. And God will hear your prayers and honor it. And He will move upon us as we seek God's will in that, and we'll be able to deliver that, which would be for your well-being in your life. The book of Ephesians, there's another scripture that was given there, and that happens to be in the 6th chapter, verses 18 through 20. Here Paul says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, that he might be able to speak the truth, that it wouldn't be hindered. The next thing, it was number three, was to, is a very important thing that was given to him, is to pray for the parents. Pray for the parents. Men and women who have entered in the bond of matrimony, have had children, and endeavoring to raise these children, that there's a heavy responsibility that we have. Think about it. You've brought a soul in the world that will never die. You were the means by which that was to take place. And God has entrusted that soul in your care. And so what a heavy weighted responsibility that is for the parents to care for that young soul that they brought into the world. In the book of Ephesians, the scripture verse was given to Brother Placido. It's in the 6th chapter and the 4th verse. Not far from where we were reading before. And it's interesting that it's focused on the fathers. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You know, the Lord has set things in order where if from the very beginning, God determined that Adam would be the head, answerable to Christ. Christ being the head of the body of Christ, to answer to God. But that the father or the husbands would be ultimately responsible for the well-being of the family, the family structure, and raising of the children, and should have an active say and work with his wife, endeavoring to do that, to raise their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In Colossians, there would be the next verse of Scripture, which would be Colossians in the 3rd chapter and the 21st verse. Again, another admonition that goes to the fathers concerning the children. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. A very important thing that fathers need to understand, that they're there to help, to teach, to mentor, and to care for their children, and that in their endeavor of trying to do this, they have to be careful that they would not discourage their children and put something before them that they're unable to bear. I think about, it just brought back a memory. Oh, goodness. There was a woman that was in the concentration camp. What was her name? Corrie Ten Boom. She tells of a time when her father was, she was with her father and she wanted to help him and wanted to carry his bag. And it was a very heavy bag. And he discouraged her in the sense he said, no, I don't, when you're big enough, I'll let you carry it. But right now, it's too much that you can bear. And he applied it to her and her life and applied it to God as well. That she would help to understand that the Lord would never give her something more than what she could bear. And she bore a whole lot when she was in the concentration camp. But it was a beautiful it was a beautiful teaching aid that her father did with her when she was a little child. And it was remembered when she was in a very dire strait being in the concentration camp. So it is with fathers that they should be very careful about what they place upon their children, that they don't place a burden so large that the child cannot bear it, and they become discouraged. Next one would be in the book of Mosiah in the second chapter. That was given to our brother. Mosiah 2, verses 25 through 27. You can find it on page 221. And ye will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked, neither will ye suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one with another and serve the devil, who is the master of sin, or who is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But ye will teach them to walk in the ways of the truth and soberness. Ye will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And that's the responsibility that the parents have towards their children in raising them up in the nurture and the admonition of God. Another one, a real quick one, would be in the book of Proverbs, back in the Old Testament here. You always know that Solomon would have something to say about all this, or either David, either one. In Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, in the 6th verse, here it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What a thought. If a child learns in his youth and it becomes a habit to pray and to seek God in his life, 9 times out of 10, that child's going to do that in his adulthood. But if they're never taught to do that, what is there to follow as they get older? That's why it's very important to focus on those things when they're young and to help them to learn on their level the importance of those things of God. And as they grow, that will grow with them. Another verse of Scripture, we go back into the writings of Paul, would be in 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter. And this would be in verses 14 and 15. Here he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Here he's talking to Timothy. Timothy was one who Paul knew when Timothy was young, was very young. Some believe that when Paul went into Ephesus, that Timothy's mother was a Jew and his father was a Greek. And that it was thought that they were some of the early converts. And so Paul had an affinity for that family and the children. Nothing unlike it would be that when our apostles are out traveling in the fields and they find a close bond to the children of the people that they are visiting. I remember Marvin. He had a great love for those young children that Joel is going to go see when they were just little itty-bitty things. Those kids would go around and want to sit next to Marvin, and Marvin would talk to them and tell them stories and help them to understand the gospel. And they liked being with him, and he loved them. And it's no different here. Paul had an affinity with this young man, Timothy, and he was kind of like an adopted father or grandfather, whatever you want to call it. And he taught him in his youth, along with his parents. And so now Paul is admonishing Timothy. Timothy here at this stage of the game is grown up to be a strong man in the gospel of Christ. And he was caring for like a pastor or that, whatever, in this area. And now and Paul was talking to him to prepare him for a greater work. Paul was on his way soon after this, to his death. They believe that when he wrote this 2 Timothy, that he was actually in prison at the time, and it was soon after this that he was beheaded for his beliefs. The fourth one. This would go along with this, but now it's a focus on the youth, the responsibilities the youth have towards their parents and to God. Those things that the young people that have come of age, they're old enough to understand what's right and wrong, make their choices in life, choose to be a part of the body of Christ. Their responsibilities towards God and their parents. One of the scripture verses that was given at this time was in the book of Ecclesiastes. You can find that just before the Songs of Solomon there. Ecclesiastes in the 12th chapter. And look at verse 1. It says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Now, what is he talking about here? In this whole particular chapter of Ecclesiastes, it's a paraphrasing of someone who's growing old. As you read on through here, it talks about the whole duty of man. But it's referring to this as, in your youth, you have all this excitement and energy and blind faith, you know, because you haven't experienced everything in life. And it's that time that the Creator knows that there is a mind to be molded and pointed to Him, and to be able to use that energy and that faith. I think about like Joshua, you know. He was ready to go. I think sometimes, I think of Andy in that when Joshua said, "Okay, let's make it across this River Jordan, take care of business," you know, he was ready to go. A lot of the other ones were kind of concerned about things, but Joshua was ready to go. And so it is with what the Lord is trying to say here. As you get older, you know, you don't have that energy in you, do you, Chris? You know, we just don't feel like getting out there going all the time, you know, but we have to really talk ourselves into going, you know. But the young kids there and the youth, they have that energy and they want to go and they want to do something. They want something to mean something in life. And God wants that to happen for them. And He wants them to be focused on His purposes and His cause. And it's our responsibility as parents and the older generations here to help that along. And that's what he's talking about here in Ecclesiastes. Again, we'll go back into Ephesians. It's interesting that a lot of these scripture verses and these admonitions fall in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, another familiar verse of scripture. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise." By a mother and father who, and this is an old Mosaic, I believe it's an old Mosaic law that was given to the children of Israel. And you can find it in Exodus in the 20th chapter. That was one of the commandments. So it says, which is the first commandment. That the Lord took that to be very important in the lives of the children, to have that respect and to honor their parents, because they're the ones that brought them into this world. Alma, in the 17th chapter, one more verse of scripture under this heading. 17th chapter, verses 68 through 70. That's on page 441. Here we find Alma speaking to his son, Helaman. It says, "Oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good." And that comes from his wise counsel from his father. I should have read the 70th verse too, because that's what he has written down here. Yea, and when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if ye do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day. The promise. Now there's another group that is very important in the eyes of God. And it's our little ones. Our little children. Those little children that the Lord said, of such as of the kingdom of heaven. There's a responsibility that the parents and the older ones, the youth and the parents, in helping the little ones understand the ways of God, even in their youth, to be able to teach them those things that are right before God, those expectations, to be respectful and those things in life that they need to learn when they're little. There's a great transition that goes from when they were little babies unto the little children. Because when they're little babies, all they have to do is open their mouth and, you know, there's a bottle in there or someone's picked them up, you know. They're trying to comfort, console, whatever. That's the first thing in your mind when they're little ones, little babies. But then when they're up and around and in their twos and they're terrorizing neighborhoods and stuff like that, then they enter into a different realm. And that's really hard. It's hard for them to make that transition. Why? Because, hey, I was the center of life, you know, and now, wait a minute, you need to be taught that you're not always the center of life, and you have to be responsible, you know, and there's a transition there. And we have to be aware of it. We have to be patient in that, and we have to guide those little guys and girls to help them to come to that understanding of the responsibility of what they're responsible for at that age. Nothing like we expect of the youth or the parents, but what our expectations and what God's expectations are on these little ones. And they need to grow with that. And so that was one of the things that Brother Placido Kolok was given, that we need to pray for them and to focus on those little ones. And again, he goes right there in Colossians, the writings of Paul, in the third chapter of Paul, of Colossians, and the 20th verse. Here we find it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. A real basic teaching. But it's something that the little ones need to understand and to be helped with. There's a verse of scripture that was given in the third book of Nephi in the 8th chapter. And verse 52, that's on page 652, says, pray in your families unto the Father always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And that would be the very important thing is that they're included in your family prayers and that they can participate no matter what they may say or pray for. It's a learning process for them, and you start at that very young age and to bring them up with that understanding that it's just a part of life. Well, the next thing, and this is something that we seem to be really burdened a lot, and that burden comes when we meet together in a time of a prayer service or whatever, and we are to pray for the spiritual and the physical needs of our brothers and sisters of the body of Christ. That we need to be diligent in prayer in that. And we endeavor to be. You know, when we get together in the prayer services or whatever, our hands are up and we're talking about these people we know or our fellow brothers and sisters and bringing them forth and praying for them. That's a good thing. That's what God wants us to do, and we need to do it. Not only for their physical needs, but for their spiritual needs. One of the important scripture verses here would be in the book of James, and you all are pretty familiar with that one, is in the fifth chapter, in the 15th verse. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. See, there's two aspects of that, their physical needs and their spiritual needs. And it's the prayer of the faith that will care for both, that the Lord will honor. And that's one of those scriptures that was given. The other one would be in Moroni, in the sixth chapter. There in Moroni, another pretty familiar scripture verse that you all should know, page 762. Here it says, "And their names were taken, that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and the finisher of their faith. And the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray, and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and the wine in the remembrance of the Lord Jesus." And so those two scriptures were applied to that need of spiritual and physical sicknesses that we might pray for, that the Lord would hear our prayers in their behalf and care for those needs in the lives of those who are afflicted. Another very important one, and we've addressed this and we're endeavoring to address it, pray for those who know not God. Those that are not familiar with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a commandment that we are to pray for those that we have no idea who they are, other than that they are not part of us. And it's our responsibility to pray for them, that they might become a part of us. The first scripture verse that was given here would be in Timothy, 1 Timothy 2 and 4. Paul took that to heart when he was preaching and in his travels. He didn't hesitate one bit to go wherever any opportunity he had to bring the gospel. Here in 1 Timothy 2 and 4, it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." That is God's perfect desire in his creation, that all men might come unto him. Now, will all men come unto him? No. When a third host of heaven was cast down from heaven of the angels, I would have to say that not everyone of the human race is going to make it. But it doesn't mean that we should not be praying for them, because we have no idea who or who isn't going to be making that choice to be with God. And it's our responsibility in our life to hold those individuals up as long and as hard as we can until we're no longer here. The other verse of scripture would be in the book of Alma in the fourth chapter. Let's see, in the sixth verse, that's on page 321. "Nevertheless, the children of God were commanded." So it isn't something that he's just, you know, this is a commandment. It has it's that kind of an expectation. "The children of God were commanded that they should gather themselves together oft and join in fasting and mighty prayer in behalf of the welfare of the souls of those who knew not God." Very important. And then the last one, which is definitely not the least, and it goes to all of us, was that, and he used the word endurance. I should have saved that one of those emails, that first one I read, for this, endurance, where they had a pastor that just stepped down. He was unable to endure for whatever reason. Very important thing that we pray for one another, that we might endure these things in our life, that we might be able to overcome all things. In Matthew, in the 24th chapter, in the 13th verse, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Very straightforward verse of Scripture, warning from our Lord Jesus Christ concerning endurance. And there's one other one in the book of Colossians again, in the 3rd chapter, verses 12-15. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful." There was one other verse of Scripture, and that was in 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter. And verse 58. Here it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And that's one of the things that are easily, that Satan uses to easily convince you to give up. That whatever your life is not worth a whole lot. You know? And we get depressed and we take our focus off of God. And that's the tool that Satan uses to chip away in our life and to cause us to fall away from him. And so here Paul is admonishing the believer to be steadfast and immovable, and to help them to understand that labor that you do for God is not in vain, as long as it's in the Lord. Now, if you're doing things that are not in the Lord, you're not going to endure with the Lord. He says, "He made known his experiences to his congregation and asked them to join with him in the Committee of Christian Energy." And that was a quote of Scripture in Ephesians 6:18. "A considerable number of our young people and adults have done so and meet each Wednesday afternoon to unite their prayers for these specific needs. The leaders of the committee meet as well each Sunday morning at 5 a.m. to pray earnestly for these needs of the church." I didn't have an opportunity to ask if they're still doing it. I would imagine they're, at least to some extent, are remembering those things. In the book of Helaman, he has a scripture verse here in the 2nd chapter, verse 31. For these closing, there's two, one in Helaman and one in Alma. I don't know if I can get over there. That's on page 551. Well, actually 552. That's verse 31. "Nevertheless, they did fast and pray oft, and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ, unto the filling of their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts unto God." And that's one of the things I had mentioned this morning. You're either progressing or you're digressing. And if you follow those things that was pointed out here, you'll be on a progress. You'll be progressing in the ways of God. And the one last scripture verse is in the book of Alma, in the 16th chapter. And it's verses 219. Get over here. And it's that admonition that concerning prayer that covers, really it covers all these things that were listed up here. It says here on page 430, it says, "Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when you are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning and midday and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, who is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. Ye must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wildernesses. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those who are around you. And now, behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all. For after you have done all these things, if you turn away the needy and the naked, and visit not the sick and the afflicted, and a part of your substance, if you have, to those who stand in need, I say unto you, if you do not any of these things, behold, your prayer is in vain, and availeth you nothing, and you are as hypocrites who do deny the faith. Therefore, if you do remember to be charitable, you are as dross, which the refiners do cast out, it being no worth, and is trodden under foot of men." A very good admonition that I feel that I felt that it would be well that we rehearse these things to remember that, you know, the Lord doesn't give us these things just to be given it to him, because if we don't remember them and don't think about them from time to time, why should he give them to us? You know, why should he take the time to give us that understanding? May God bless you in that understanding and in that application of his word in your life.